Shall we open our Bibles for a verse? In John's third epistle, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Oftentimes we send our best wishes to our friends, to our relatives. In this verse, you find, in the language of the Scripture, my best wishes to you young people. Beloved, you're precious to the Lord. Redeemed with His precious blood, having tasted that the Lord is gracious, a child of God forever, destined for eternal glory with Christ, beloved. And it's nice to say it sometimes the way Brother Jackson said it among us and continues to say it, beloved. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul is such a loss that none can restore. Oh, is there one here today who is exposed to the judgment of God against sin? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But still, if that's not true of you, and it need not be true of you, because in the gospel last evening you heard the remedy for sin, the warning about judgment, the provision that has been made, the escape that is yours, through Christ, through God's Son, the Savior, who will save you from your sins, who will save you from that pit that is yawning for inhabitants, that opens wide to receive the doomed. Oh, it could be that you'll drop into that pit, but it need not be so, for God loves you. He's proven it, and it cannot be doubted. There doesn't seem to be any great health problem in our lands. The people are quite well, and we don't observe that need here this afternoon. It's good to be well, to be strong, to have bodies that are fortified against disease. Bodies that might be useful, that can be useful to the Lord. And there's great emphasis, you know, in our day upon our bodies. They get much care, much consideration, much tampering. But what about the soul? Is that not the important thing that we see here in this verse, even as thy soul prospers? We need to prosper in our souls, lest we suffer loss, L-O-S-S, at the judgment seat of Christ. As to the body, let's notice a scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, middle of the verse. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. We need the instruction of the Word, and a special warning in this day in which we live, and find so much attention devoted to the welfare of man's physical well-being. Now the body is not for fornication, our own selfish use and indulgence in sin, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Let's think of our bodies in that light. The scriptural way. And we can render them useful to the Lord. Our members as instruments of righteousness. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Wonderful position. Nearness into which we've been brought through grace. And verse 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? If you've accepted Christ, if you've believed the gospel, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temples, the dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. It was never so in Old Testament times. The Spirit of God came on occasion and left on occasion. But now He indwells us. And there's nothing like the favor into which we've been brought in the history of all of God's people in past ages. Nor shall there be anything like it ahead. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Now let's go a little further as to the subject of soul prosperity. Turn now to the 32nd Psalm. Here we have the history of a soul in exercise before the Lord. If not in the actual exercise, at least reviewing that exercise before the Lord. In the first part of the chapter, we'll begin with verse 3, we have the soul or the individual hiding from God. In the latter part of the chapter, verse 7, for instance, we find that that same soul has found a hiding place. Verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. We can't get along by covering up things that are wrong in our lives. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. These verses bring before us the necessity of self-judgment. And here's one that's trying to avoid it. And sometimes we try to avoid it. But it's the best thing for us when we halt that procedure, when we stop, and when we turn to the Lord, as we find in verse 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and to mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Have you come to that point? Either in your history as a sinner, or perhaps necessarily in your history as a believer. If you've failed, have you acknowledged your sin to the Lord? It's only by so doing that we are restored in our souls, and that we prosper in our souls, and are brought into the further enjoyment of that full and rich portion that we have in Christ. Sometimes we tremble. We should be concerned about failure. But let us be ready to acknowledge any failure, shortcoming, or sin immediately before the Lord, getting into His presence about it, that He might refresh and restore our souls, and that we might be enabled to sing songs of deliverance, as indicated in the end of verse 7. Songs of deliverance. Oh, what a beautiful story the grace of God writes before us. Can we not thank Him and magnify His grace that has saved us and that has kept us in this measure until this hour? Oh, bless God for His wondrous grace revealed in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There won't be any delay on His part. Oh no, He's ready to forgive. He's ready to restore. We read immediately in verse 5, "And Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." This is worth considering, Selah. Oh yes, you should halt, you should pause, you should consider these things. And then, verse 7, He's in the good of the hiding place that He's found, and that hiding place is the person of Christ, the rock and the weary land, according to Isaiah 32. Major Ander wrote about that hiding place that he found in Christ as he faced the gallows, and his soul rested in the Lord Jesus as he faced death for treason. Do you have that security, that sense of peace and satisfaction in your soul that nothing can touch? It can be yours. It should be yours. And we should be singing songs of deliverance. For indeed we are a delivered people. Delivered from this present evil world. Saved from the pit of hell. Saved for eternal glory with Christ. Let us join our songs together in appreciation to that one who loved us, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Oh yes, in this way, we find a blessing in our souls, in our lives, by getting into the presence of the Lord. We're brought to realize His grace that He'll never forego. Now in verse 8, we find a word about instruction. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now we need guidance. We need instruction. That's mentioned first in the verse. We need to go in the right way. And times have never been so difficult as now. But the Word of God will rightly direct us, and we can be safely guided through all the tangles of life, all the maze and confusion that exists. There's a certain way through it. There's a way that pleases the Lord, that glorifies Him. And we read, I will instruct thee. How can we be instructed? Here's the book, God's Word. And we need its teaching, its instruction. We need to be occupied with it so that in making decisions, we will arrive at those decisions according to the knowledge that we receive from the Word of God. And not only so, he says, I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. The Holy Spirit has been given to take of the things of Christ and to show them to us, to teach us, to guide us. And if we have this book, and we do, and we have the Holy Spirit, we're born again, we have a new life. And that new power of life, the Holy Spirit, then what excuse can we make for our failures? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That's the standard. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will counsel thee. Oh yes, the Lord is anxious to direct you. And trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We need the wisdom of the Word. We need not only the knowledge of the Word, but the wisdom of the Word. Sometimes we gain facts, we assimilate facts, but we fail to apply them in wisdom because we haven't been before the Lord. And that brings in prayer, dependence upon Him, guidance by the Holy Spirit, according to the Word. Sometimes we would like to know just what the will of the Lord is for us. Well, then we might suggest a few questions. Is that which you are about to do consistent with the Word of God? That's a test. Is it according to the Word? And another test is this. Do you have a single eye? Is it for yourself that you wish to do this particular thing? Or is it for the Lord? You know, when we minister to ourselves, we only make ourselves miserable. The aim of culture is to make this world a better place to live. Culture only beautifies the natural man. Oh, we need that which is from above. then, perhaps this is another test. Is my will active in this that I expect to do? You know, my will is restless. I want to get it done, and I don't want to wait. I want to do this right now. Therefore, we advise to wait upon the Lord. Oh, let's wait. Let's be sure. Is it according to the Word? Is the Spirit ungrieved? Do you have a good conscience about it? These are some guidelines that might be helpful to you young people as you make decisions. As you seek to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. And you know, in occupation with the Word, we're brought into closeness with Him. Oh, that new life, that new nature grows through the Word. And we come into the appreciation of that blessed One who is altogether lovely. Oh, sweet and precious is the communion that we can have with Him. And oh, it's so much better to be guided by His eye as being near Himself, as looking to Him and instantly recognizing what His will is for you. So we're advised to be not as the horse, verse 9, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee, or lest they're uncontrolled. That's the other way of being guided. Sometimes we're hindered. The Lord in His providences, God in His dealings, He shuts the way up, and we can be thankful for that if we haven't been permitted to do what we will to do and have been recalled to sit in His presence and to inquire of Him as to that which would be pleasing to the Lord. Now we might turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. A certain observation was made by a brother on the train. And pardon me in making reference to this observation. Five brothers who came to these meetings were on the train, and it was discovered that one was in his 51st year, the second in his 61st year, the third in his 71st year, the fourth in his 81st year, and the fifth in his 91st year. And the further observation was suggested that it might be possible to look 10 years hence and see what we would be like at that time. Oh, the Lord's coming is near. Our years failed. His years shall not fail. But here we have something brought before us. Let's look at the virtuous woman. The good woman that is brought to our attention here in this chapter. And this good woman can be you, my dear sisters. This can apply to you. Her price is far above rubies. She's good. She's trustworthy. Verse 11. Her husband doth safely trust in her. And she's industrious. Verse 13. She seeketh wool. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night. 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. 17, she girdeth her loins with strength. Verse 18, her candle goeth not out by night. 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle. Oh, this is a beautiful picture, portrait of the woman that feareth the Lord. And that's where true beauty is found. Let's make reference to that verse 30. Favor is deceitful. Gracefulness is deceitful. And that's especially true. It's always been true. But we see so much of that kind of thing nowadays. Yes, gracefulness is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now this same one. Verse 20 is unselfish. She's benevolent. She's interested in others. She has the Spirit of Christ. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And then we observe in verse 26, that she's wise, for she openeth her mouth with wisdom. And not only is she wise, but she is kind. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, the picture would be incomplete without a further reference to another portion of the Scriptures. You know, there was Adam in the garden, Lord of creation, head over everything in a position of dominion. But it was not good for Adam to be alone. So we want to get the two views. And let's turn now briefly to Psalm 15. Here we have, according to the suggestion, David describing a citizen of Zion. Well, we're citizens of Zion. Zion means grace, favor. And we read of this one, verse 2, that he walketh uprightly. Young man. An ideal man, perhaps. He walketh uprightly. That's what we add in the 32nd Psalm. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All let us own our failure when it comes about, as it often does. He walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, this is practical righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. All things are so superficial nowadays. Let's be real. Deliver us from guile, from that which bears such close resemblance to the truth, but is a lie and the worst kind. This man is a man of integrity, and he has control of his personality, especially that little member that is the key to the person, the tongue. He backbiteth not with his tongue. And he doesn't take up a reproach against his neighbor. All these tongues cause so much trouble. The best way to use our tongues is in confession of our sin to the Lord, if it need be so. Otherwise, let us praise him. Oh, that's the sweet and precious and suitable employment of these tongues of ours, giving expression to the grace that is wrought in our hearts in response to that blessed one who died for us and lives for us. And then we see, verse 4, end of the verse, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He stands by his word. That's important. It's practical too. In farm operations, sometimes we had a tenant. Agreement was made. And sometimes, you know, when people make agreements, if one fails in his part of the agreement, there's a seesaw process that begins to operate. But that's not the way an agreement should be kept. If you make an agreement, you should keep your part of that agreement, regardless of the failure of the other partner to discharge his obligation. That glorifies Christ. And then we find here that he putteth not out his money to usury. Money is not his object. And a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. All these things the nations seek after. If we had time to refer to Luke chapter 12. But now let's notice a verse. We've had the good woman and the young man brought before us. And Amos 4, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And with that question, let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. A word of warning, of instruction, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the principle. You can read the context. Verse 17, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. He is our Father, but he wants to be a father to us. Oh, he wants to bless us. He wants us to be happy. And we can be. If we'll walk in self-judgment according to his word, being instructed and guided of the Lord, and the Spirit ungrieved. Oh, yes, dear young people, let us seek to go on with the Lord. We need the fellowship of his people. Oh, yes, we need all the provision that he's made for us. Let's avail ourselves of the opportunities that have been afforded. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You can rest upon that. You can be sure, confident, certain. And whatever comes in the way of difficulties, perplexities, problems of life, you will have a sustaining resource. And may your confidence be in the Lord, for the just shall live by faith.